In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Sunday, brothers and sisters, is at least partially about the restoration of the icons. It's what a lot of people think of when they hear about the Sunday of Orthodoxy. It's really about much more than that, because when we speak about icons or iconology, the understanding or study of icons, we must also always speak about Christology, because the two are absolutely two sides of the same coin, or actually the same side of the coin. Because if Christ did not become incarnate, we would not be able to depict him in icons. Because, of course, he would only be spirit, just like the Father and the Holy Spirit are only spiritual beings. They have no substance. They have no flesh. Christ does have flesh, and so we can depict him. I wanted to pick out a few things from the services tonight, some of which, or one of which, we've read, and the rest we'll read in the Matins service, so that we can understand about Christology and icons at the same time. In one of the Vespers to Charon, it said, "Thou who art uncircumscribed, O Master, in thy divine nature, was pleased in the last time to take flesh and be circumscribed." Now, circumscribed would mean limited. In his divine nature, he's unlimited. But of course, as a human being, Jesus Christ was limited. His human nature was just as limited as ours. He couldn't do things that were not, that a human being couldn't do. He couldn't jump up on top of a mountain. He couldn't disappear, things like that. "And in assuming flesh, thou hast taken on thyself all its distinctive properties." That should remind you of something from Scripture that you should have read many times in Hebrews, where the Lord became like us in all things, save sin. "Wherefore we depict the likeness of thine outward form, honoring it with venerating it with an honor that is relative." So here comes the link with icons. Because our uncircumscribed Lord chose to be circumscribed by taking on flesh, not changing his divinity, not circumscribing his divinity, but becoming a man and therefore being circumscribed, we can depict him. "Therefore, we can depict thy likeness." Okay, that's good to know. But let's understand now what is the meaning of the uncircumscribed one, the one who created all things, becoming circumscribed and created. This is from the Troparion. And actually, this Troparion, the priest reads in the entrance prayers every single time before Divine Liturgy. "We venerate thy holy icon, loving Lord, asking thee to pardon our transgressions, Christ God, for of thine own will thou wast pleased in the flesh to ascend unto the cross and to deliver from the bondage of the enemy those whom thou hadst fashioned. Therefore, in thanksgiving, we cry aloud to thee. Thou hast filled all things with joy, O our Savior, when thou didst come to save the world." It's really hard to read something that I have memorized in a different way. "We venerate thy holy icon, O Lord." And when we are venerating, we ask to be pardoned our transgressions. Because of his own will, he was pleased to be ascend the cross in the flesh. To do what? To deliver us from bondage of the enemy. Now, I've even known someone to leave the church over the understanding of what happened on the cross. There's this idea that somehow on the cross, God only forgave our sins and that caused our salvation. No, the Lord changed our nature, made it possible for our nature to be changed. Of course, it's all a process. Baptism starts it, but baptism would mean nothing if the Lord had not accomplished what he accomplished on the cross. He wanted to deliver our nature from the bondage to the enemy. So when we look at our Lord, we're looking at our deliverer. And that is the link between the icon and the Lord. That we can see someone who has become flesh and changed our flesh on the cross so that we would be delivered from the enemy. The Kontakion says, the uncircumscribed word of the Father became circumscribed, taking flesh from thee, O Theotokos. We've heard that just a minute ago, basically. Same imagery. And he has restored the sullied image to its ancient glory, filling it with divine beauty. I tell you, when I became Orthodox, this understanding, this theological statement, in its many forms, it's been stated thousands of times in our services and in the fathers and in the mind of the church, that the Lord restored the sullied image to its ancient glory. What was this ancient glory? When God said, let us make man according to our image and after our likeness. So God became man because man had sinned and sullied that image. So God, man, Jesus Christ, lived in a perfect way so that the human image, the God image, excuse me, the image of God within the human being would be fully restored. He restored our sullied image to its ancient glory. And so that is what we revel in. We see the image of God, the God-man, we see the human image is restored. And we can be restored also. Now there's another thing that we really proclaim or think of in the icon, seeing the icon, and this is more in line with the first hymn that I spoke of, and that is from Matins, the sessional hymn, the first sessional hymn. Depicting thy divine icon, form in icons, O Christ, we openly proclaim thy nativity, thine ineffable miracles, and thy voluntary crucifixion. All of it we proclaim, because he became man and fulfilled all the things that man needs to fulfill. And we proclaim it all when we see his image in the icon. So the devils are driven out in fear, and the heretics, their fellow workers, lament in shame and sorrow. God help them. We venerate the icons because our Lord became man, and because he restored that sullied image to its ancient primeval beauty, and that he ascended the cross in the flesh to deliver from the bondage of the enemy all human nature. All we need do to have this happen to us is believe, be baptized, and struggle, and God will help us in all things. So the triumph of Orthodoxy is not just about restoration of icons. That's really a side thing. That's not the most important thing. The triumph of Orthodoxy is what happens in the human heart because God became man. And since he became man, we can depict him in icons. So this is what you should, your heart, your soul should feel when you venerate an icon of Christ. Not so much that you're thinking these things in your head. Kind of hard to do that as you're venerating an icon. But your heart should feel this great gratitude that the image of God, which was sullied, will be restored in you perfectly because God became man.